our scripture comes from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, first through the 14th verse. And it reads, "In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.'"
I've been looking forward to this night for a little while because I have a great story to share. This is a story that my friend told me, and I want you to know my friend is totally trustworthy, all right? And she told me a story that when you hear it, which you're about to do, you may have trouble believing it. But then, right, it's tonight, it's Christmas Eve. And tonight is the night when actually many stories that seem unbelievable, we actually find out they are true, right? So first of all, I need a show of hands. Raise your hand just so I can get a sense of the room. If you have ever been wine tasting at a winery, raise your hand. Okay, that's pretty good. I used to work in the Napa Valley, so you have to be careful. I've only told this story one other time, and nobody had been to a winery. So if you have been to a winery or not, I'm going to tell you what you know. It's important that you understand when you go there to taste wine, most often it's in a large-ish room with a counter or a bar of some sort, right? And that was the case. They look, like that. And you walk around in the tasting room. Well, my friend's friend wanted to purchase a Christmas gift for some of her out-of-state friends who had visited her during the summer. And they took a special liking to a particular selection she had served from a certain winery in St. Helena. When you live in the valley, that seems normal to you. So you go to the winery to get your friends the wine. And it was the week after Thanksgiving. That's a huge time. Everywhere, but for tourism in the Napa Valley, they go all out. It's beautiful, and the displays, the flowers, the plant life, it's just so beautiful, and then you add the lights and the candles. It's one of the most beautiful places to be. Well, the one she was visiting was no exception, and the centerpiece of their whole display and their decoration in the room was this stunningly beautiful hand-carved nativity set. And there were quite a few customers, and so she took her time and tasted some wine, as you do, as she admired the nativity scene and waited her turn to purchase a gift of wine. At some point while she was there, a white stretched limousine pulled up outside, also normal in Napa Valley. Two extremely well-dressed men and a woman came into the tasting room. Actually, to be clear, they stumbled in, she said. Obviously, they were quite inebriated, and it was so bad that the winery staff refused to serve them at the tasting bar, even though they had a driver. It was bad. A heated and loud conversation started happening between the guests and the winery staff, and all the other shoppers were right there, so they couldn't go anywhere, so everybody heard everything. You can't really ignore what's going on. And as that debate continued between the drunk patrons and the tasting room employees, the voices got louder and angrier. The female of the trio kind of separated herself from the men and started walking around the tasting room. And she, just like my friend's friend, was drawn to that beautiful nativity set in the center of the room. Well, the arguing kept going for a few more minutes when finally the winery staff did prevail, and the two men came over, gathered up the woman, and they, all three of them, stumbled back out the door where they came from in a very loud, angry huff, back into their waiting limousine. At the same time that this was happening, and the trio was like going out the door, right at that moment, one of those other customers noticed suddenly that one of the figurines from the nativity set was missing. And they they go, "Hey, that woman stole baby Jesus." They were stunned. Another customer's like, "What? She stole baby Jesus." The group gathered all in front. It's a true story. To see for themselves, right? To look for themselves. Then, acting as one whole wave of a group, they spontaneously went out the door, that's Behringer, out the door together and began chasing the limo, which I kid you not, was slowly going down, pulling away from the winery. The people started banging on the limousine and chanting, "Give us back baby Jesus." And it continued, though, pulling away. The limo continued pulling away. So my friend's friend said she stood on the stairs, you can sort of make them out, with her wine in her hand and her jaw open. Like, she had never seen anything like this. I kid you not, true story. What happened next is not to be believed either, because one of the men, because the limo was going so slow, thought he could run around the front. And so he ran in front of the limo, jumped on the hood, grabbed the windshield wipers, and was pounding on the window. "Give us back baby Jesus." But the limo would not stop. It kept rolling really slowly. Finally, at the base of the driveway, it came to a pause. The window in the back, they were all tinted, just came down, and a hand came out. And they all went, "Hooray!" And they went to the hand, and she gave them back baby Jesus. And as they pulled on away then, onto St. Helena Highway, the crowd proceeded together to go back into the gift shop, up the stairs, a bit breathlessly, you might even call it reverently, and they placed baby Jesus back in the manger. Why did that woman do such a thing? You got to ask. She clearly wasn't hurting for money, right? She's well-dressed, had a private limo and driver. She's driving through the Napa Valley, sipping some of the best wines in the whole entire world, seriously, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. Was she mad? Did she feel entitled to be served? So she thought, I'll show you. Maybe you're not going to serve me and my friends, but I'm going to ruin your decoration here. Was that why she took baby Jesus? But then I got to ask, like, why not take Mary? Or why not take Joseph? And if she was just being spiteful, why did she give him back? Why did she give him back? Maybe something more was going on for her once she got back in the back of the limo. And whatever feelings prompted her to reach out and steal baby Jesus turned into, like, something else. Maybe she sat there and had some sort of, what, revelation? It wouldn't surprise me. Because I believe there's something about the baby Jesus that touches us. Touches a place in us sometimes. So, is this the only place this could happen? Like, is this a only in the wine country type of a story? Could it happen anywhere else? I assure you it can. So this is also true. That very same friend who told my friend this story, the woman at the winery, she sent her a video this week. And my friend sent it to me because she knew I was going to share this story with you all, okay? So, to be clear, she didn't see this firsthand. However, it's on videotape, so you know it really happened. It's been making the rounds. Maybe you've seen it, but I had never seen it. We've got Mary, we've got Joseph, we've got an angel, we've got some sheep. Let's watch. Right? True story. Right? What is it about the baby Jesus? Is that what it's about? And I just love it that, like, she's a sheep. What's a sheep gonna do with the baby? Is it something more than it's about the baby? Maybe there's just something about the story of the birth of Jesus that captures us, whether we're a four-year-old sheep or a 40-year-old tasting wine in the Napa Valley, something that reminds us of God's great love for us, which is a vulnerable love, right? It's the kind of vulnerability that is uniquely shown because it's shown to us in the form of an infant. And for that little sheep girl, well, we all laugh, right? But consider what she was able to do, as small as she was. She could hold him. She could hug him. She could sway with him. In Jesus, God comes to her, upsetting well-rehearsed plans under the watchful eyes, right there in front of all the parents. It still happened. And you know they rehearsed so well. But what happens? In their own nonverbal way, if you notice, and you can Google it, just watch it over and over again, the other children are communicating nonverbally, give us back baby Jesus. Right? So maybe there's a part of you that is seeking the gift God gives the world at Christmas too. And in part, you are here. All of us are here to find baby Jesus too. The name Jesus, in case you don't know, is the Greek form of Joshua, and that's a rendering of the Aramaic name Yeshua, and they come to us from the root, which means to save, or to rescue, or to deliver. And one of the noun forms, Yeshua, is actually deliverance. Deliverance. So understanding how God saves us through Jesus, it's a really important part of everyone's faith journey. And what is true for me may not be true for you. But still, on some level, everybody needs a little bit of saving. And God does this by becoming Emmanuel. Another name we give Jesus, Emmanuel, and it means God with us. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. In my imagination, I hope that that woman at the winery who was gazing at the creche stole baby Jesus because she experienced all of a sudden a deep need or a yearning somehow for something more. And perhaps despite a day of Christmas shopping and wine tasting, her spirit, as she stood there, felt hungry still for some more. And maybe she was standing there in her fabulous outfit with matching bag and heels, and all that finery began to weigh her down instead of provide her identity and meaning. Maybe she looked around at the beauty of the tasting room and her gaze focused on this hand-carved baby Jesus, which represented countless generations of other manger scenes all around the world. And maybe she was recalling those. Or maybe she even began to sense her longing for God, for meaning that went deeper than she could express in words, but felt in that short moment which she had separated herself from the men at the bar, walked over and snatched up baby Jesus. Our Advent worship leading up to this night has been shaped by a line that the children sang just a few minutes ago for us. The O Little Town of Bethlehem, it's a song that was actually written for a Christmas pageant for children. And it was written by Phillips Brooks and Lewis Redner all the way back in 1868. And it presents the mystery of Christmas in really simple poetry, like the Gospel of Luke that we heard Chris read. And it speaks to what many have felt through the ages, that to try and embrace the mystery of Christmas year after year after year somehow means understanding that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in the birth of a baby. So maybe that's what the woman was thinking about. So she just reached out to possess the Christ child in the midst of all of her hopes and fears. Well, the trouble is, babies and the parents that are in the room, you all can't see them, but they're walking all around here. They are a lot more work than many people ever imagine. And are we ever really sure who is possessing whom? Right? Right. Maybe that's why the woman eventually gave him back. Right? Did she sit in the limo, have a dawning awareness of what that stolen gift might actually require of her? Did she open her hand and look down at the baby Jesus and begin to wonder what in the world she had just chosen to do? Ah. And while we're wondering about this, just let me say a word about that crowd. Those who became almost outraged that someone would steal something in that way. What the woman did was wrong. Stealing is not a good thing to do. But what the crowd did was kind of crazy if you ask me. Like, what suddenly moved a group of total strangers to get so caught up in righteously trying to retrieve the baby Jesus that they run, yell, pound, and jump onto a limousine? They're caught up in an artistic rendering that belonged to a winery. It wasn't even their baby Jesus. The woman didn't seem to stop and consider her actions, but neither did the crowd, if you ask me. So what would you do? What would you do? Would you give him back? Or would you keep him? Would you yell when you think someone else should not have him? Would you chase after him? See, once you receive the gift of Jesus, what you will do next is entirely up to you. Receiving the Christ child as a gift is one way to open ourselves up to God's transforming love. It's a way to say yes to the yes that God bursts into our world. It's grace. The gift is free. So tonight, we're invited to open our hearts to receive that gift. If any of us had been in that crazy situation, maybe at least one of us, maybe just one of us, would have pushed pause just for a moment and asked ourselves and the others in the crowd, hey, hold on a second. Why don't we just let her keep him? Why don't we let her keep baby Jesus? A baby-wrapped gift that says she's loved and accepted? A gift that will change her forever? Why don't we just let her keep it? And that is our desire for all of you here tonight, is for all of us, right in front of us, to find baby Jesus, the gift of God that keeps transforming us. And we want all of you, per family, to keep it. Amen.
Sleep in heaven.